Hi, I'm Roy Spencer of PermaSeal. For over 45 years, we've helped over 500,000 homeowners make their homes drier, healthier, and more valuable. Our warranties are transferable and estimates are free. Call 800-421-SEAL or visit permaseal.net.
This is the Wintrust Business Lunch with Craig Bolanos, the co-founder and CEO of Wealth Management Group. Let's start with just an overview of the stocks. We've done that a lot this week, but the markets are flirting with record highs, down a tiny bit today. But instead of being at 43, now we're at 42. What's your overall assessment of all of that, Craig?
John, I'm thrilled. I mean, we just celebrated an anniversary. I'm not talking about my wedding to my best friend in life, my wife, but the bull market on Saturday, October 12th, marked the one-year anniversary. You know, it's almost hard to believe that the S&P 500 was at 3,500 nearly 2 years ago, and now it's at 5,800. This has been magnificent.
Yeah, it's funny. I mentioned this yesterday, how much attention we spend on the Dow, and let's not get into that. But actually, the other indices are up considerably more than the Dow is year over year.
That's correct, because those other indices have higher weightings in technology. Thank you to those FANG stocks, or what we've called the Magnificent Seven. But, John, I've got great news. If bull markets are born on pessimism, boy, this one was. They grow on skepticism. It sure has. They mature on optimism. That's where we're at. Bull markets die in euphoria. We're not euphoric yet, which means there's probably some legs in this thing for a considerable period to continue to trend higher.
So you think this enthusiasm is justified? This is for real? Stocks aren't overvalued? It's broad enough outside the fangs? You're not euphoric. You're realistic.
I'm realistic, but, you know, speaking of realism, nothing is in a vertical line. Nothing is linear. In the markets, we always need to be prepared for what I call pops and drops, right? And sure, even during the average bull market, which, by the way, lasts 61 months since 1950, there's typically a handful of double-digit losses during that period of time. So do I think that we could easily blow 5 to 10 to 12% off this market with a bad headline one way or the other? Of course I do. But if someone were to say, is the path of least resistance, using your comments on the Dow, is it more likely we go to 45,000 there's versus 35,000? Yeah, 45,000 looks like it's more in the cards.
Well, markets run 5 years. How long has this one been going then?
Well, we just celebrated our anniversary on October 12th. Today is only the 15th of October.
Wait, so that's the one-year anniversary?
That's just the one-year anniversary, John. The one-year anniversary. This party got started in the fourth quarter of 2023. All of 2023's gains came at the end of last year. The gains in 2024 have come in each month of the year. But no, this isn't a bull market that's been in the making for years. We're in a new bull market backed by an economy that still appears headed to a soft landing.
Craig Bolanos is the co-founder and CEO of Wealth Management Group. He is cheering on, as of 3 days ago, the one-year anniversary of the bull market. It's funny, the more people, maybe I missed it, Craig, didn't remark the way you were on it, how we're enjoying, obviously, a great run, but that, who knows, you think there's a lot more energy left in this thing, don't you?
I think there's more energy left in this thing because, again, bull markets die in euphoria. They're born and grown during skepticism, and that's what everybody had in 2023. That's what people have had all through 2024. And the earnings, they just don't lie. The numbers are the numbers. I mean, when you have earnings per share growth of 11%, and you've got companies beating on the top and the bottom, it's a good recipe. Now, I acknowledge the valuations are getting a little bit rich in some areas of this market, John. You've talked about that, too, and trees don't grow to the sky. But if people are building and engineering diversified portfolios and putting quality as a staple of what they own, then I think this thing is enduring and can continue to run.
You think it's broad enough in the market?
it's getting broader. Is it broad enough yet? No. Is it getting broader? Sure it is. You know, I've mentioned on your radio program a couple of times that people would be wise to even look at some equal weight indices like the S&P 500 equal weight as opposed to just owning the cap weight. And we've seen an uptick as this market has broadened out. I hope there's further room to go. I hope we continue to see some rallies in industrial stocks, not just tech and communication. And if that's the case, hey, life's going to be A-okay.
You saw how Goldman Sachs is doing.
You know what? We had some good data put up by a number of the financial companies today. That's very positive. On the retail front, yeah, we've seen a rally in a local company that everyone enjoys, but it's also disappointing to see how many of their retail stores they're going to close over the next 36 months. But I think that just speaks to the fact that this marketing channel in retail is continuing to change relative to omni-channels right. And obviously everybody being online.
Okay, so then you're talking about Walgreens and the fact yes. that they've closed or going to close 1,200 stores over the next few years. And you're telling me that's not a symptom of the weakness of that stock or company, but rather a function of how we get our prescriptions. Is that what you're saying?
I think it's a function of whether or not companies did the right thing or the wrong thing by not getting a PBM, a prescription benefit manager. And I think ultimately it's this. When I can sit on my couch and be lazy and order a stick of deodorant and a tube of toothpaste and have it arrive the next day, that's very different than me having to grab my car keys and drive to the local corner Walgreens and get those retail items that I used to do. And by the way, when I used to go into that corner store, I wouldn't just buy the deodorant and the toothpaste. I'd also buy some things I probably didn't need. When I'm doing it online, I'm a little bit more surgical. And I think that doesn't just speak to me. I think it speaks to a lot of Americans changing retail behavior.
Yeah, which maybe isn't good for Walgreens. But what's the strength of that company? How are they doing?
Well, you know what? As far as Walgreens goes, I'm not going to comment specifically on that. Obviously, there's a big pop in the stock as a result of the cost-cutting exercise that they're going to go through. I still have a hard time getting in front of any real brick and mortar, but if somebody said is investing in the area of healthcare a dominant field with the graying population, of course it is. And I think those companies who do an equally good job of handling their online presence,
yeah.
digital solution, those are going to be the winners that continue to move forward.
Talk to us about the energy sector. What are you seeing there?
Well, I'm happy that crude oil prices have kind of settled down. I mean, those rumors that the Israelis might not bomb the nuclear facilities or the refining facilities of Iran are giving us a little bit of a price break in oil. That being said, I think energy is still underrepresented in most portfolios. I mean, energy used to represent almost 8% of the S&P 500. Energy is now only 3% of the S&P 500, and I think people can take a look and say, depending on how certain politics go after November, increasing some energy and E&P, exploration and production, might be the spot to go, especially if we're not having a recession anytime soon, and China continues to do stimulus, getting their economy back online.
If Republicans are in control, then gas and oil prices will stay strong. Is that what you're saying?
Generally speaking, there's one political party that's a little bit more willing to work on fossil fuels than another. And that's not an advocacy for how anybody should vote. That's a very personal decision that everybody should do. Shout out, let's get out the vote. But I think the politics for certain areas of the market do need to be considered when doing short-term portfolio construction.
What's up with NVIDIA these days? We used to talk about them all the time.
You know, NVIDIA, after new highs, tend to make new highs, and NVIDIA is the poster child for that. Sure, it's taking a break, but you know what? The stock should take a break. And if we take a look and we say, gee, was NVIDIA $134 the other day, and now it's $131? You know, that's not that much of a dip. I still think NVIDIA has the inside lane when it comes to all forms of generative AI, and hence it's one of the world's most valuable companies, and it's still incredibly relevant. But there's going to be other stocks coming along for the ride. That's AMD and all the other processors that weren't first to the game but are rapidly playing catch-up.
Craig Bolanos is the co-founder and CEO of Wealth Management Group. Invest with WMG.com. You can click on there right now. Hey, Craig, nice to talk to you today. Thank you.
You're welcome. Great to be with you, John.